This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Hello. Good morning. It's the 13th of March.
Oh, no. Good morning, Ben.
Why did you just start the show with six of the most negative letters in the whole world?
Because you're a lot of energy this morning.
So, yeah, it is Wednesday. Wednesday's a really big day here on CliffCentral.com.
Because?
Gareth's in the snow. But my name is Ben Karpinski. I am here. Sia is here. Gord will be on his way.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a guest coming in at 7:30. Over the phone.
Over the phone, yes.
Yeah. Andrea Sassman from the Children's Hospital Trust. Now, Sia will tell you all about that in a second. But, yeah, just want to say a big shout-out to my dad's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Papa Karpinski.
Didn't need you to sing?
I'm sure he was grateful for that.
No. So that's the most significant thing, then. Obviously, okay. The 13th of March, here it is. But, yeah, Gord's going to be here. He's in a bit of traffic. And Sia and I have got many stories to share.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go straight into it, Sia. I take back everything I said about Oprah.
I don't know where this is going, but already I don't know how to feel because...
Now, as you would know, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Oprah's witch hunt on Michael Jackson. And then, well, I got stuck in this rabbit hole.
You guys called it witch hunt.
Well, look, it's pretty clear it was a witch hunt, but not all witch hunts are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to hunt a witch.
Okay.
That's what happens in life, Sia. You can't always just think that one phrase means one thing. So, sure. In the last couple of days, I've actually been like... Because what I normally do when I work from home is I have YouTube on in the background. I'll maybe watch a video because I'm writing about a certain topic or I'm doing something on a certain subject.
Yeah.
And then the next video plays, next video plays, next video plays. So I thought I'd just play like one Michael Jackson video.
Mm.
Wow. Well, well, well. It just looped and loops and looped. Different kind of videos coming on. And there is so much stuff on YouTube about Michael Jackson. And how the hell...
at a loss.
At such a loss, but like there's so many different aspects to the story. But one thing I did actually enjoy, obviously we reference Joe Rogan a lot on the show.
Yeah. It's
probably, I think, the second best podcast after this one. And him and his mates, I'm not going to play this whole clip because it's quite long, but he has some very interesting sort of opening thoughts around Michael Jackson and the whole Leaving Neverland documentary, which I still haven't watched, but I do want to watch that.
I don't want to watch that Michael Jackson thing. First of all, it's weird because he's not alive. He's not alive to defend himself, so it's weird. It's also stories, and, you know, people tell the truth in stories sometimes, and sometimes they don't, and you don't know. You don't know. And also, there was, you know, it was always weird. Like, people, no one knew... Why, with all the rumors that everybody had ever heard about Michael Jackson, that anybody would let their kids go and hang out with him? Like,
dude, you watch the documentary, like, these parents are fucking morons.
I don't get it, man.
Two of the fathers have committed suicide since this happened.
Two of the fathers have committed suicide since? Did I only find this out now? Did everyone know this?
I also didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Jesus Christ.
We don't have any hard evidence that he was molesting kids, right? All we have is rumors.
Well, here's the thing.
And in court, he was acquitted.
Here's the problem. The doctor, his very doctor, said that he was chemically castrated.
Talking about the guy who killed him?
He was chemically castrated?
I don't know about that. It has always been a thing. And I've always heard it as a rumor.
Because these guys don't talk, I mean, like, they talk a lot in the show, but generally they check their stuff. They generally have very good arguments based on facts.
Yeah, I don't know about that
guy said he was chemically castrated by his parents to protect his voice.
So you have no testosterone, right?
Exactly. Not just no testosterone.
So do you still bust nuts?
I mean, me? I don't think so.
One of the other weird things I saw that was like facts you should know from the documentary was that he had something to do with the sound in the room. The hallway leading up to his bedroom was wired so that footprints would make a ding-dong sound in the room. Just a very strange thing to just have in general for any purpose.
But if you grow up in the spotlight, because remember, he was such a big star, you might have some anxiety.
Right, maybe he didn't want anybody walking in on him naked or something.
Or he don't want anyone walking in while you're touching boys.
It could be that. Look, who the fuck
knows?
We don't know.
However, What do you think, Jamie?
Am I off? No, I'm just saying some of the facts I'm remembering. He spent like 30 straight nights with like a 12-year-old at his house, in between that kid's mom's house and his dad's house, and they're divorced.
And there's so much
paying for so many.
There's so much video. There's so much video of him and this little boy holding hands, and the boy in the video goes, "Yeah, we would hold hands and we had a signal. We'd rub each other's palms when we were thinking sexually about each other." However, you got to chalk it up to the shitty parents. Because if John Legend came to my house, was like, "Dude, I love Tiger. You mind if I take him out for a little while? But it's your goddamn mind.
Right.
You're not going anywhere."
Well, not only that, and John Legend's not a pedophile.
No, I'm
not known.
But they didn't know Michael Jackson was that.
But everybody knew there was something up.
Not at the time. He was the biggest star in the world back then in the 90s.
Yeah, but this is what I keep coming back to, is that people didn't think anything was up. But, like, he's a fully grown man, but he's a child, and he's a man, but he's a child. But anyway, your kids are in his bed. See, it's not looking good for Michael. I mean, I know he's dead and stuff, and we've been through this 1,000 times. But when you watch and you get different takes, different perspectives, and then I watch this, because you know, like, there's one of those true life documentaries about Michael, where everything's been, like, reenacted with actors that never really made it that far.
Yeah.
But there was some just fascinating things. Obviously, Joe Jackson was the problem with all of this. Because, I mean, like, this, the guy with half a voice there, he'd, again, reference.
I was about to say, what's Roman doing in Joe Rogan?
Roman's on the... but it always comes back it always comes back to shitty parents, of course. You know, like, those parents were having a fight, so they let their kid stay with Michael for a month. Joe Jackson was a shitty parent. He grew up working in the steel mill.
Gary, Indiana,
In Gary. And his kids were his meal tickets, simple as that. And he whipped Michael, and he really whipped him and made him, like, this whole chemically castrated thing to maintain the voice. But his voice was always, think about it, his voice.
But all of the Jackson siblings have a very high-pitched voice. And put the ladies aside, LaToya and Janet. Listen to Jermaine speak. They all have this airy, whispery tone to them.
Well, after Michael struck gold, they were all just trying to emulate him, weren't they?
Shit crazy.
Batshit crazy. I think all those things that you're saying are true. But I also think it's true that he was probably chemically castrated. I really think that's true, because I've said that a long time ago. I said, I think he's a castrato. The way his voice is, why, tell him that it's human nature. It's just that voice is just not a man's voice. It's not even a falsetto voice. It's a woman's voice.
But did you know also, that his hair caught on fire in a Pepsi commercial?
Yeah, he was filming a Pepsi commercial. There were meant to be pyrotechnics and these big fireworks on set. While they were still rehearsing that, or they might have started filming, the fireworks went off, his hair caught a light, and that was actually because of the medical attention he received after that. That's when he started getting into drugs and his dependency on that.
Exactly. Then it became the plastic surgery. And then you think, like, okay, back then plastic surgery wasn't actually that good, which was unlucky for Michael because he was having a lot of it, and it wasn't really good. But then there was this take that was the start of, like, his self-harm. You know, like, we all have destructive qualities in our lives, right? And the plastic surgery was Michael's real self-harm. It was like, well, I'm just going to be different. I'm just going to get out of – I'm just going to piss my dad off and become a different person. But look at the harm it created on him. So, all of this manifests basically into touching kids, no doubt, because that was probably his one place where he felt power and he felt like he was finding his own world, which is sad.
This might seem like a cop-out, but I'm just getting to the conclusion that – we don't know, and specifically, I don't know. I don't know what to believe, and I don't know what to then think or conclude. We don't know. Take this documentary aside, everything that has happened in Michael's life. I don't want to bring because this happened, then that's why he behaved like this. Or because he grew up here, that's why he behaves like this. There are so many comparisons all the time. There are his siblings who some just have a fairly normal life. Regardless, even if you say, okay, well, the rest of the Jackson 5 weren't as famous as he was. Well, look at Janet. Even though Janet isn't a massive star today, Janet with her Velvet Rope album, and she had Rhythm Nation, and she was a child star herself. Janet, before she was a major musician, she was a child actress. So she starred in TV series. And you look at how she has been able to cope to have a relatively normal life.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, Michael, and I know then you can say then because of his fame, you can't really compare the two.
Yeah, but like Joe was soft on the girls, though.
I don't know. I really don't know. It's not a cop-out. I don't know what to believe. And then specifically using the documentary as the core of things. I've said this again repeatedly on the show. He's not here to give his take on things. I'm not saying that what the accusers aren't saying isn't true or not validating their opinions. But I don't know.
Well, on the day that I back Oprah, suddenly you become a fence sitter.
No, I still have a very same stance with Oprah's take. So I just to get the story along, did you end up watching the After Neverland special where Oprah interviews the accusers?
Yeah, that was one of the things, yeah. And Oprah obviously conducts it like a true professional. Gail's in the audience with some guy in a beanie. Guess that's her husband or her steadman.
No, Gail isn't married or dating. It was probably her assistant. Was he Latino looking?
Sort of.
Or was he big and buff?
Bit of both, actually. He was kind of Latino, looked like he worked out.
Did he have dimples?
See, I wasn't.
No, if he was big and buff, then it was probably Gail's son.
No, it was old. Like, he was the same age as Gail.
Okay. I don't know.
I reckon her and Oprah had like a ring of Steadmans. They just circulate. Like a lazy Susan. Like they go into this closet, they just pull these.
Where's my Monday man?
Yeah.
Where's my Wednesday man? I hate to say I told you so, but guys, you were the ones before listening to the R. Kelly interview. You just thought, why Gail? And I said, Gail is a genuine journalist before all of this.
Gail's a real deal.
And so I have my hands on the entire, what's it called? Leaving Neverland documentary. It's 4 hours long.
4 hours.
I can't even make it through the part one, which is 2 hours, folks. I can't.
But is it like, is it just very slow? Is it just quite boring? Is it well done?
I don't know. I just looked at the clip and started as I was loading it, and it was just part one. I was loading part one and it said 2 hours, and I thought, no, I don't have 2 hours of my life to give up just yet.
Why? What's so important about your life? You don't have 2 hours to find out about Michael's story.
Do you understand how long a night serum takes?
What?
When I go home, and I'm at home at 6:30, I need to put on my night serum and my eye cream, and I can't do that.
All right.
Even the Oprah interview special, it's about 45 minutes long, but I'm not going to watch that before I've watched the documentary myself. But I don't know. Even with Oprah saying that she's doing, or rather she's using the Michael Jackson case to raise awareness on molestation and child abuse and sexual abuse, I still think it's kind of an unfair thing to do because Michael isn't here. Do you know what I really think she should have done? She should have done a Harvey Weinstein documentary. And she knew Harvey way better than Michael.
The problem is, though, Harvey's probably got stuff on her. Another thing, Harvey's he's quite lowbrow. Like, Harvey's a real piece of shit. People don't ever want to be associated with him in any context whatsoever. He's just a grisly old git. Like, the thing with Michael is that it's a nice subject to go to. Firstly, he's dead. Secondly, it was Michael. You know, whereas Harvey's just a piece of shit. Like, I feel dirty just talking about him. Mm. He just looked like, ugh.
I think one of the big takeouts that I've got over the past couple of days and weeks we've been chatting about Michael is how easy it was for him to perform all of his alleged acts on children.
Yeah.
So a huge chunk of the whole sexual abuse chain is not just the act itself, but it is what they call from the abuser's point of view, the seduction.
Grooming.
And the grooming of it all. And Michael started his grooming process, whether he had the intention to allegedly abuse you or not, but he started the grooming process from just how he was.
Spot on.
Every single time he went onto stage and he performed amazingly well, and then he got to Heal the World, or he got to, what's that song, Earth Song, he would always say, I love the children.
Yeah, but he actually literally meant it.
And all the time in interviews, he'd always say, I didn't have a childhood, and I wish I had a childhood. That instantly says, oh, woe unto him. Oh, shame. Look at him. And then pity unto Michael. So when now kids got to take photos with him, instantly slipped into, oh, hey, I love you. It was just open sesame.
Let's not use the word slip and open sesame too much in the context of that conversation. So you do make a good point. But also what it comes back to, and I'm sorry I always will hop onto this, but let's just go back to the root cause of all this. Shitty parents. When's Oprah going to do a special on shitty parents? Dr. Phil's fighting that good fight. He's often showcasing these people.
Well, then shitty Oprah's getting a cut from Dr. Phil.
Shitty parents is the root cause of so much stuff. I'm not saying shitty parents directly made Michael interfere with kids, but let's be honest. Shitty parents gave Michael the ammo, and shitty parents made Michael Michael. Shitty parents. Shitty parents make politicians. Shitty parents make all kinds of things. Just don't be a shitty parent. How about that? I mean, I'd hate to like drill down to the most base of things, but if you know you're going to be a shitty parent, don't be a kid. Rather get a board game or an Xbox, or I don't know.
If you know you're going to be a shitty parent,
take up mountaineering.
Don't be a kid.
Yeah, don't have a kid.
I think so many people shouldn't have kids.
Exactly, but that's not a big leap, is it?
People have kids just because it's like, I mean, it is obviously a base instinctive need in creatures to breed, but I mean. People have kids with just so little thought. Like, I'm not even personally opposed to having kids myself. I haven't, like, decided I definitely don't ever want kids. I'm 37, so I don't know if, like, to what extent
they're... You're 37?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Did you think I was older or younger than
that? I have no idea, actually. I've never thought about it once in my life. In my eyes, you've never had an age for some reason.
I'm ageless. I'm a child in a weirdly shaped man's body.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I've not decided not to have kids, you know, and I'm also not like a person whose relationships never work out. I've been in my adult life, which I figure is from after high school, I've been in 3 serious relationships. I spent about half the time single and half the time not. I know from having parents that hated each other, definitely don't have kids if you're not like 1,000% sure the person you're with is the one that you can like have a happy life for the kids for.
Or at least
that sentence sucked terribly, but anyway.
Sure, but you're right. Or at least just find an amicable solution around stuff.
I wouldn't mind kids. I just wouldn't do it unless I could afford them and I was with a person that could give a happy home to them with me. It's like I have so many criteria that have to be right before I deliberately have a fucking child that like it may never happen. And if that's the case, that's cool. All the wonderful girls out of the three ladies I've had like long term or sort of like significant relationships with all great people, but like I'm glad I didn't stick it out with them because it wouldn't have worked. 7 years, 4 years, 3 years, it's a long time, but it wasn't going to work forever. And I mean, if I had a kid with one of them, we would be not together now and trying to manage the logistics around this person's life. And like, just it's so selfish. I mean, I understand it can happen by accident, and if you do it like that, then
you straight people and your straight sex.
For me, it's the woman's choice then, like, and the guy must support what she decides to do, whether to keep the kid, etc. But you know, like, so not everybody decides I'm going to have a kid now and like shout at my wife in front of it for the rest of its life. But it's just such a selfish thing to do if you're not prepared. Like, it's like driving drunk. You get to fuck up other people's lives because you're not in a position to do something properly.
And you know what, Gord? People will counter that by saying, oh, but you don't know about it because you haven't gone through my struggle. But it's actually, no. You can prepare for so much in life. You really can. Whether it be on time, whether it be packing a lunch so you eat healthy.
Felt that little dig.
Oh, no, not at all. It's just that's one of the key fundamentals in life you can get right, okay? And that's not about you being late. That's not an issue at all. It's, you're not even late. The show is the show, Gord.
I know. Pop in.
It's the show. But this is the whole thing. You can prepare for so much more in life than people think. Not everything has to be that's just how it happened. No, shut up. Make an effort.
And I do know people, and I'm sure everybody does. I'm sure there's lots of people listening that also do, like, have had kids unexpectedly or unplannedly or outside of relationships and then done a really good job. Like, I got some friends that have got also co-parenting with an ex. Like, you know, I can think of a couple of examples, but one in particular, one of my best mates who's like, him and his ex, the baby mother, they're like an amazing team. He just got married, and his ex, the slash baby mother, was a bridesmaid to his wife. It's like everyone's a happy family. See, because they put the kid first.
Yeah, because they didn't want to be shitty parents.
Exactly.
They could have been. They could have taken the low road.
Yeah.
But they actually are decent people.
So it's not to say that if you haven't prepared everything perfectly, it's not going to work out. But like, I see some people, and I'm like, you shouldn't be allowed to look after yourself. Like,
now you're going to look after someone else.
Oh, let's just have 9 children.
But also, like, when you go to the SPCA or you want to adopt a pet, they got to check your house out, right?
I don't know if the SPCA come and check your house out, but I know that, like, a lot of people who you adopt pets from do. So I take your point,
So, I mean, why are people going, well, you're going to have your 6th kid. She's the first 5 having a shit time of it here.
Yeah. And then you, but you get into also, like, situations then about, like, okay, well, who gets to decide who's a fit parent and who gets to decide who's not? And it's just.
Well, based on objectivity, it's not about, oh, do you kiss your baby enough? But let's just look at facts now, you know.
I think that's a good first step. If you give me a state salary, I'll do that. I'll give up everything. All my hopes, my dreams, my passions.
For a state salary.
For the good of this, for the good of humankind, I will judge you.
I reckon if Kopinski was in charge of the, like, certificates of parent readiness, we'd be in single figures for children every year.
I reckon
South Africa's population would be halved.
We'd have that sweet spot of how many people should be on this planet.
Yeah, which is few.
I still also think, not to be all philosophical, but everything is a choice. And I think that's also what you were alluding to, Gord. It's not necessarily about shitty parents. It's also just about people who make shitty choices.
Yeah.
And even after, so let's put people in the context of having a child unplanned. You still, every single day and in every single way, get to choose what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You get to choose whether or not you're going to invest for this child's life and set up some sort of fund for them. You get to choose whether or not you're going to work hard at work and try to aim for that promotion in 2 years' time so that you get to afford your family a better life. You get to choose whether or not you're going to sneak out into the corner bar for a drink after work or whether you're going to go home and just play with your child. Everything is a choice.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing this more and more now with, similarly, the R. Kelly saga, where these kids are now still in the picture and their parents are still in the picture enough to tell both sides of the story. And there are some of the kids who are saying, actually, I willingly chose to be with Robert. I love Robert. Well, that's a whole other separate conversation. But they'll say, my parents are only speaking out on trying to paint him to be a bad person because they were trying to extort money out of him and they weren't getting that money.
Yeah, that sounds shitty.
Yeah, what a terrible parent.
It's all.
All right. Well, look, I mean, choice, I think. See, this is why we've got to start the show at 6 because we get these hot and heavy topics. And before you know it, it's time for the 5 things you need to know outside of the things you already know that we've already told you.
I think
Are
you saying we're spoiling the people?
We are.
With more things that they need to know than they actually need to know.
That's what we do. We spoil people every single day here on cliffcentral.com. Sia, what are the other 5 things you need to know?
Today you'll only know
13 things. We're going to be very stringent on
how many of them did you really need to know?
We all need to know these things. Let's get started with that then. First thing that you need to know this morning, well, this is quite unfortunate and very scary, but a case of arson has been opened after fire damaged parts of Duva Combined School in Emalahleni in Mpumalanga in the early hours of Tuesday morning, less than a week after 2 learners were expelled from the school for assaulting another learner.
Shitty parents and shitty people and shitty choices. So they what? This story, the root cause of, is shitty parents. Oh.
Another interesting news story brought to you today by shit parents.
You could have shitty parents but still make better choices and decisions in your life.
This bulletin brought to you by Pulling Out.
Yep. This is, by the way, what the Education Department has said. The Provincial Department spokesperson Jasper Zwane has said that the storeroom in the school caught fire, which spread and damaged the office of the principal and a number of other offices. We don't link the burning of the school with the expulsion of the learners, but we cannot rule out that possibility. This is what Zwane said. However, Provincial Police spokesperson Colonel Msholi Bembe said that the police had found a container for an inflammable substance at the scene. He said the police suspected the substance was used to set the fire. This is getting quite intense, so we'll just keep an eye out on that story and as it develops.
Well, generally what they found from the kids so far, they said that they didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the walls were turning.
I appreciate that.
Second story that you need to know this morning.
Sorry, moving so very swiftly. They didn't light it, but they did try fight it.
How can they sleep while they're bed? So that's a whole different song.
It is a bit cold, but we're in the same area.
Go with it.
Moving on very swiftly. Second story that you need to know this morning. At least 16 people were injured after a train derailed in Boksburg on Monday. Did you hear the story?
Again, like this whole train thing, right? Mm. It's some dickhead's job to make sure these trains are maintained and that maybe the trains can stay on the rail. I mean, I'm no train expert.
And engineer law.
I mean, I'm no Thomas the Tank Engine, but a train has to be on rails. Otherwise, it's not a train. It's just a, what is it? It's like a fly when it can't fly.
A walk.
Like, how are these, is this happening all the time?
It's a bus with really shit handling.
Yeah. This is happening all the time. I mean, this is just the stuff that makes the news.
Right.
Like, people have to get really injured or die for this to make the news.
Okay. Paramedics said three carriages of the train went off the track at the Elandsfontein railway station near Jet Park Road. All those injured were taken to the hospital with serious and moderate injuries. It's unclear what led to the derailment, but Netcare 911 spokesperson Sean Herbst said, on arrival, paramedics assessed the scene and found that three carriages of the train had derailed, injuring 16 patients. Once treated and stabilized, all the patients were transported by various ambulance services to hospital for further treatment.
Sorry, so you say that they didn't know the cause of the train derailment?
No.
Well, shitty parents. Someone had a job, didn't do it, didn't. No one taught application to this fucking
with
person.
Mechanical things, and like, trains have been derailing a long time despite people's best efforts. So yeah, it probably is some negligence factor somewhere, but they're also like just, like mechanical things, they kind of get a bit of wear and tear about them. You could find that like something was malaligned and not to the point
but
where
isn't
it's
that
obvious.
A role, a job. That's
yeah, but well, I mean, I don't know why the train derailed. I'm just saying it's not necessarily shitty parents or being crap at your job that derailed the train. Like,
no, I
shit, shit goes wrong with machines sometimes.
God, but what's built into business models and general budgets is the maintenance of these things.
Yeah,
it's like when you buy a car, you're essentially buying a service plan.
Yeah.
This is an important part of the price.
Part of it, yeah.
It's an important component of the price that you get. You're essentially buying a service plan. You're buying a car and that car to work for a time period, essentially, under manufacturer's strictest instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you operate a train, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I am with you. You got to do maintenance on trains. Just that sometimes there's a little bit more to it than just like some dickhead didn't do his job, now train derailed. Sometimes, like, a whole lot of things can conspire together to fuck your train.
I think you're giving these guys a cop out. I really do.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I think it is possible. You're being overly sympathetic for train people.
No. God damn it, Laws. You and your constant lefty agenda, train maintenance people apologists.
With your lefty sympathizing for train maintenance people.
Yeah.
Sorry, see, carry on. It's going to call Gord out for all his shortcomings in life. Sure.
Yeah, I would be, Ben, we've had this argument so many times. Can we not just agree to disagree on train maintenance? Let's disagree to disagree on train maintenance.
Third story.
How many shows have been ruined because you can't put it down, all right?
Yeah, fair point.
Third story that you need to know this morning. Three people have unfortunately been confirmed dead and many others are still missing following the devastating flash floods that have wreaked havoc in Kwamashu and Durban. One person was found alive yesterday afternoon. The Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs said 4,000 volunteers have been mobilized to assist in cleanup operations. Can we just a round of applause for the volunteers? 4,000 people. That's amazing. These volunteers have also been helping communities with relief strategies such as soup kitchens. The department said a warning had been sent out to the public last Thursday about the heavy rains, which began on Sunday. But the department spokesperson Lennox Mabaso said it was a pity that people don't make provisions in time when warnings are issued.
Provisions.
They say, this is the department speaking, some of them were living in flooded places and waterland. We really appealed to people to take the instructions from our authorities and local government seriously. Yeah, I'm hearing what the government is saying on this front. It's also, Ben, I'm not a leftist and apologist for the government.
No, you are. Go around there.
But sure, okay. That was shill. My disclaimer.
He's a shill.
But interesting, the last time I read about the Alex fires, and I think maybe more information might be out there and I just don't know, but the last time I read and found out, the stories alluded to the fact that the fire could have been started by a pylon or some sort of electrical structure that fell. And since the government always does warn people not to build around, you know, electrical structures like that, if that pylon, hypothetically, should have fallen on the land that should have been free and available,
exactly,
nothing would have happened. But it was the fact that it fell onto the shacks, and the shacks then all caught alight. Now we have a different story. But
well, yeah, again, it's just too many people.
Well, on the other hand, though, like, that space is, you know, those in those informal settlements, like, the stuff is built so on top of it. Mm. So, like, your primary need is more like, I need a place to live and I can live there above and beyond. Like, is it entirely safe? Yeah. So you're forced into that circumstance. I don't think anyone's like, that's a beautiful piece of real estate there next to the pylon.
It's a survival thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we saw,
you got to, like, be in that area. That's where your community is, family. You just need that space. And you can't, like, just go live on your own on that little bit of land in the middle of between the lanes of the freeway.
Yeah.
So you build next to the pylon.
I mean, sometimes, Gord, you just don't have the luxury of logic. Simple as that.
I think maybe you have the luxury of logic. You just can't necessarily, not necessarily in a position to apply it.
Yeah.
So they pile on around the pylon.
You just wanted to say that.
I did.
Okay. Damn it, I wish I... Never mind. Just never mind. Did you see the photos of our president in Zimbabwe yesterday?
What the hell is he doing in Zimbabwe? Seriously, I had to go to the hospital yesterday, which I'll get into in the second hour.
Oh, no.
And I was looking up at the screen, and there he was in Zimbabwe, a failed nation, a complete bunch of dick knobs. Trade agreements? What? Did Zimbabwe don't have anything?
Just visiting the neighbors. Sometimes it's polite.
Sure, but like, to what end?
Well, he concluded.
Can we not sort out ESCOM? Can we not sort out our own stuff? Going there for like a, hey, let's do stuff. For who?
Well, he concluded his visit yesterday by dashing any lingering hopes. This is his statement, and this is what his people say. Dashing any lingering hopes that South Africa would bail out its economically troubled neighbor.
Yeah, because we're all about that bailout money. Mm-hmm. We're in a position to be sugar daddy in other countries.
Sorry, so you said we're not going to bail out Zimbabwe?
We would not.
It's funny how the ANC general leadership, whatever, they've all bailed out until their money's going to bail someone else out. And then it's like, oh, actually, yeah, see, this is this is financially a little silly. Meanwhile, it's like, yeah, okay, well, let's just bail out ESCOM.
Just from a, like, satanic corruption perspective, you could probably benefit from enriching some rich Zimbabweans. Like,
in what way?
Well, I mean, you could just extend your network of back scratching and...
Oh, like, they've already done that.
Yeah, just like, go give the homies over there. The homies in need then become the homies indeed. You know, they'll do the stuff for you. Like, you can own a few. The same way, like, politicians have been, what, captured is the word. You could capture a few Zimbabweans in positions of power and then be like, grad, that's cool shit you guys farm over there in the corner. Like,
yeah, but we want the tender
to provide the tractors or whatever, however the fuck.
Yeah,
correction.
But, like, China's already got it, though, so that's where my point is. Like, there's nothing there.
It's been
there.
Sold already.
There's nothing there to be had, so why even bother going? Because they're not going there to help people.
I just think if you really want to call yourself strive for excellence at corruption, you should be finding opportunities, not problems, in terms of further corrupting them.
Gord, that's already been done. Do you not think that? I mean, that's a long time ago.
So there's nothing left to pilfer.
No.
I don't know.
What a bummer.
President Ramaphosa commended the new administration of Emmerson Ngangwa.
On what?
Commended them.
For its bid to revive the economy, he says.
Okay.
And promised to explore a number of options of financial help.
Cyril, today I'm going to cure cancer. What you got for me? Mm. Their bid to revive... Oh, blow it out.
His promise to explore options of financial help. Otherwise, that was just all he had, but offered no concrete offer of help, voicing a commitment to work with Zimbabwe in addressing the socio-economic challenges. He says that South Africa stands ready to render support to Zimbabwe within our means in our quest for economic renewal. This is what he said during one of his talks. But last year, Zimbabwe requested $1.2 billion in emergency credit from South Africa, but Pretoria indicated it did not have the funds. In a joint statement issued after the 24-hour visit, the two governments said they were exploring ways to help Zimbabwe financially. One of them would be a loan facility from South African private banks to the Zimbabwe private businesses. But the loans will be guaranteed by the South African government with an appropriate counter guarantee from the Zimbabwe government.
It's nice. There's all these capitalistic platitudes for socialist organizations.
We've got a spare $1.2 billion lying around. What with how flush we are?
Sure, let's just check out the
jaw someone a quick $1.2 billion.
And then the last story you need to know this morning. Oh, God. Yeah. Then talk to our president.
Otherwise, gifts, God.
Yes.
Last story that you need to know this morning, let's talk Brexit, because British MPs reject the Brexit deal for second time now. British MPs overwhelmingly rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal for a second time yesterday, pitching Britain into the unknown just 17 days before it's due to split from the EU.
Can they not get it right in time for me to have easy travel to Europe in June? Like, come on, guys. Like, don't make this complicated for me. Now the next thing you know, I got to get a visa. It's all about me.
Yes.
Let my passport be European friendly and just stop with your bullshit. I should write a sternly worded letter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, look, it'll probably be more beneficial than whatever Theresa May is trying to peddle out right now.
I don't even know the details of what are the contentious issues.
No one does.
They want a Brexit, but like with still some of the benefit and not other benefit. And like this whole Brexit thing was just such a stupid bloody thing. And I get referendums, okay, but like,
right,
it's fair. But this was so close. Like there should be some sort of with such a massive issue. If you're going to call a referendum on something that fundamentally changes, like the government and the economic structure of how places run, if I stand to be corrected, it was 51-49 or 52-48, the percentage that they won the Brexit vote by.
It wasn't that side, no.
You got to have some sort of like, you know, like in South Africa, you need a 2/3 majority to unilaterally change laws and shit. You should need like 60-40 at the least, or call it like a, you know, what's it? No result. Call it a draw and say, okay, cool. Well, in the event of a draw, we don't change anything, but we do reserve the right to like do it again in 5 years type of thing.
But a win's a win though, Gordon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I do get because you need some.
There's got to be a little buffer piece in the middle where it's just a draw, like, you know, 45, 55. I don't know. I'm not trying to say, okay, well, it didn't, like, the argument is often, well, it didn't go the way you wanted it to go, so you're saying, like, scrap the result. It's like, it feels to me like it's half and half, dudes, and no one's got a fucking plan. And people who voted for Brexit, like, didn't understand what they were voting for. And, like, obviously, if it was something that was really necessary and people were really overwhelmingly in favor of and politicians were, like, well behind it, they'd have known how to bloody do it.
The House of Commons
fascinating,
voted.
Fascinating responses there, guys. Thanks for your input.
The House of Commons voted 391.
I was waiting for you to finish.
I did, Ben, and then I looked upon you for comment and criticism and got neither.
Hey,
I checked out.
Boys, be nice to each other, please. Thank you. The House of Commons voted 391 to 242 to reject the divorce deal yesterday, even after May secured further guarantees from Brussels over its most controversial elements, to say the least. The move risks unleashing economic chaos as Britain is scheduled to end ties with its biggest trade partner after 46 years on March 29th, no matter what. Appealing to MPs in a voice half breaking, they say, due to a cold, May had urged them to avoid the economic shock, she called it, of leaving without an agreement. But she also warned Eurosceptics, many of whom have campaigned to leave the EU for their whole careers, that if her deal failed, so might Brexit.
How can it fail? Like, in the sense that it won't achieve what they set out to, or in the sense that they'll scrap it? I don't understand what the problem is with Brexit.
Well, those are the five things you need to know this morning.
All you need to understand is that Theresa May is having a tough time. Yeah. I know there's more to it. Okay, look, this is British politics in 5 seconds. Theresa May can dance Jeremy Corbyn's accounts.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, that's not my words. I mean, that's just what this says on Wikipedia.
But thanks for the synopsis. Oh, on
is that the Wikipedia,
entry
for British politics?
I have personally struggled with this choice, as I'm sure many other honourable members will. I'm passionate about delivering the result of the referendum.
Sounds screwed.
But I equally passionately believe that the best way to do that is to leave in an orderly way with a deal. And I still believe that there is a majority in the House for that course of action.
She sounds like she's been pulling all-nighters.
Yeah.
I love how classy that is.
Yeah.
It's like, but we're heckling you in a classy way.
Some people tune, though. Like, not everyone's sort of subtle or passive-aggressive about it. Some people will tune. Oh, no, you didn't! Oh, no, it's not! Shut up! You're wrong!
Well, look, this is the great thing about civilized parliaments. I say civilized because parliament is parliament ultimately. But there they get some great heckling.
Yeah.
In the House of Commons themselves, like some of the greatest one-liners that get dropped there. Let me give you an example here.
Last week, like him...
Sorry, this is that Jeremy Corbyn guy who...
Last week, like him, I was in Brussels... meeting with heads of government and leaders of European socialist parties, one of whom said to me... No.
What did he say?
So he says, and one of them said to me, and some guy in the back just shouts, who are you?
No.
And then everyone laughs like it's the pub.
What they said, Mr. Speaker...
Because after that you tuned, right?
Right. Like, yeah, that's when you sit down.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he's been burned. He's got nothing. Oh, that's classic. Anyway, Sia, is that it?
Yes, those were the five things that you need to know this morning.
Let's get straight into the sport then. Because today is the fourth ODI between SA and Sri Lanka. Now, SA have already wrapped it up 3-0.
Your cool music. Where's your cool music?
Just going dry here, Gord.
Oh, no.
Just going dry.
Ooh, dry.
And for podcast purposes. So, on to the sport. Yes, today is the fourth ODI in the SA versus Sri Lanka series. Now, Sri Lanka have not been able to get anything going in the series so far, despite being so dominant in the test. They're 3-0 down, and with that, the Proteas may be experimenting. They brought back Hashim Amla and... Adam Markram. Amla unfortunately has had to go back home again. He's got a lot of personal stuff on the go right now. I'm not entirely sure what it is. And obviously, it's a personal sensitive issue, so we shouldn't really pry anyway. But Reeza Hendricks has then been out and has been pulled back into the squad. Will he go to the World Cup? Will Markram go to the World Cup? Well, put it this way. Markram has got two chances now to really show that he is the guy to go. And starting today. So, that is 1 o'clock, I think, today. You'll be able to see the guys in action. Chris Morris has not been pulled in. I think it's very clear that he will not be going to the World Cup anymore. He's not seen as one of the all-rounders or one of the players that are worthy to go in the match day, in the squad of 15. But if you're in PE today, 1 o'clock, there's a day-night match, and that will be very interesting because the Proteas are looking quite good right now. But who is going to be in that final squad? All shall be revealed quite soon because there's only two matches to go. Then the squad's announced. Then they go to England. Then they World Cup. So,
I wonder what the odds are on us winning from the bookie's perspective, because they must be low as fuck.
I would say we are realistically, India's the favourites. I'm not looking at anything, I'm just making this up as we go along. India the favourites, England probably second, then you're going to go with Pakistan, Australia, and then us. I would say, realistically, and this is me head over heart saying basically they're fifth favourites to win this thing, which is fine. I'm going to make the same reason we have a good one.
We don't win that thing when we're number one favourites by a landslide, so
no.
Probably won't win it now.
Also today, in interesting one-day cricket, is the fifth final ODI in the series between India and Australia, and this is currently locked up at 2 apiece, so 10 a.m. South African time. So what a day of cricket it is. If you like betting as well, what a day of betting it is. Amazing. In Test cricket, there's going to be a couple of things that are maybe going to just change. One of the things being a standard ball. Now, obviously, there's big conversations around why do they use two different kinds of balls. So in the Southern Hemisphere, they use the Kookaburra ball, which it is not doesn't swing as much, doesn't give the bowlers as much distance. Elsewhere, you get the Duke ball, and I don't even know what they use in the subcontinent. So I think they just use an old rag just because they want to spin it. But yeah, they're saying that this should be a standard Test cricket ball. I totally agree with that. Also, there's going to be a countdown clock between the overs to obviously facilitate faster play. Now, we've seen some ridiculous bans of captains recently where slow players come into it. And, of course, if your team is found guilty of that, then the captain sits out, doesn't play, which is no one wants to see that kind of stuff. But there will be a 45-second from call of over until the next bowler comes in running in with the standard Test ball.
Jeez.
Sounds fair.
Like 45 seconds. I'm trying to, I don't know, like, is that a long time or a short time? Because time is relative. Like, 45 seconds...
It's enough. Put it this way. It's enough for fine leg to run to be third man somewhere else or to bowl for square leg to become point or whatever.
Without having to sprint.
Yeah. So basically, you need to up this discipline ultimately. And what it comes down to is now there'll be a clock to basically say, there's your 45 seconds. You've got no excuse anymore. Get through the overs. So that's kind of cool. In football, wow, what a night last night for Juventus fans. Sure. They were 2-0 down going into yesterday's tie against Atletico Madrid, and they won 3-0, yeah? So what does that mean?
They win, and they move on to the next round.
Correct. With an aggregate of 3-2. Ronaldo got all the goals. So if you've been doubting Ronaldo in the Champions League so far in the white and black colours, well, you might have been given a fair reason to do so, but there he is, stepping up where he needs to step it up. 3 goals, and now they're into the quarterfinals, same as Gord's team, Man United.
Mm.
How about that, hey, Gord?
Emotional roller coaster. So if I'm not mistaken, they more or less did the same thing, and then from having never been done before, it's now been done twice in the space of a week. Coming down from a 2-goal deficit, were they home goals that they conceded in the first leg?
No. They were away last time.
United still have that little record.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a big deal by United.
Still a hell of a thing to come back from 2 goals down, regardless if it's home or away goals.
Oh, look, it's massive BMT. Now, that's the beauty of the whole Champions League thing is if Atletico Madrid has scored 1 goal, they would be through because they got the away goal.
Yes. Yeah.
So even though that three-nil scoreline last night sounds resounding,
they had to win by 3 clear goals.
They had to win by 3 clear goals. And there it is.
Mm.
So good on Juventus. They go through. Man City, well, they put 7 past Schalke 04.
Jeez.
I mean, at one stage, Schalke were just hoping they could finish on the 04.
City just like 7 goals back. They're like, you know, guys, obviously we've got 7. That 8th one, we just, you can have it. You can make it 7 when you can have some of our goals. From now on, we're going to score some more goals. We'll give them to you guys. You got spare.
Yeah, cool. That was a weak tangent.
Sorry. I hate how freely Liverpool and City score.
But that's the thing. Like, when you've got so many star players, when they click, they really click. And we've seen it so many times from City, and it's against big teams sometimes. Okay, Schalke 04 isn't exactly the biggest team. But still, this is like Champions League. This is deep in the Champions League. So they are just so good. And then Barcelona will be taking on Olympique Lyonnais tonight, 10 o'clock South African time.
Lyonnais?
Yeah. And Bayern München, otherwise known as just Bayern, really. They'll be taking on Liverpool.
That's an interesting game.
Now, Jurgen Klopp has poo-pooed any suggestions that exiting the Champions League will help their title race. He says that's just absolute, it's just bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Because, look, ultimately, you want to win the league. For Liverpool, because they haven't done it in 73 years, obviously they want to win the league this year. But they're in it for the Champions League, right? That's what you always want to be measured on. That's the most important thing. So you're playing the biggest teams. That's how you get remembered. And also, it's just huge money.
Mm.
So those are your two big games tonight, which is huge.
Also, the opportunity to win both. Like, that double is a moor of a thing.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, that's exactly
that's
how
it's like
you,
immortalization.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
like defining your life. Tiger Woods, he had a neck injury last week. Insert Viagra joke if you wish. He will be playing again this week by the looks of things. He went to Ponte Vedra Beach where they're playing the TPC Sawgrass Players Championship. It's obviously moved this time around because the schedule in golf, international golf, has changed a bit this year in order to make the PGA Championship more of a standout event. So the Players Championship will be taking place next up. And Tiger's in it. He's in it to win it. Now, the whole thing with Tiger is, can he maintain his body? If he can, then he's got a good chance of winning at Augusta. If he can't, well, he's just going to be thereabouts at best. So with his neck injury, people were saying, oh, well, here we go again. The injuries are coming back. And of course, Tiger's long in the tooth, as we all know.
Mm.
But he's 43 now. But he still thinks he can win his 15th major.
Doesn't sound that long in the tooth, but I guess with pro sport, 40s is old.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a whole bunch more sports. I mean, obviously, people are talking about Itumeleng Khune getting drunk. He's a...
Drunk?
Drunk.
Okay, what happened?
I sounded there? Drunk saying it. Well, he's just getting hammered with his mates. But apparently, that's a thing. I mean, that's just... No, that's not a story. He's a human being. He gets drunk like anyone else.
Did he do something like ragingly untoward while drunk?
No,
or is the
thing.
Story just that he got drunk?
He was just getting drunk with his mates and he was talking about just buying everything because obviously he's quite wealthy. Who cares? Leave the guy alone. If he's drunk and driving into like a crowd of people, yes, then there's big problems. But the guy wasn't driving. His pants were on. He wasn't doing anything too unsavory. Gosh, that must be suck. Sometimes it must suck being famous. It just really must suck. And I think that's pretty much it for your sport today. Oh, we've got a big sporting show on Friday. So be sure to listen then, as it'll be a lot better than today's sport, which wasn't terrible. It's just that Friday will probably be a lot better.
Your inner monologue evaluating your performance.
Yeah.
It's because you didn't have your music, Ben.
Like, I know, when I'm in the hot seat, the sport isn't quite as good, but I tell you what else we got. That Taiwan Sia tells us a story that's happy.
Bring on the happy sunshine, Sia.
This literally is the definition of happy sunshine, Gord.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter or not, but did you see an account by the name of Billy's Donuts? And the story behind that?
I did not see
I missed that.
Please, regardless.
I'm always following hashtag donuts. I don't know how I missed that.
That guy's genuinely like, what could be happier than donuts? So, there is...
I don't know, not living with obesity.
How much time you got?
Alrighty. Talking to the wrong crowd here. So let me just tell you. This is actually quite sweet. So there is a father who has started a donut shop. Literally, good old simple donut shop. Doesn't look at the economy much. Doesn't really know his target market. But it's not a business story. Let's put that aside. Starts a donut shop and names it after his son. Who goes by the name of?
Billy.
Yes. So it's Billy's Donuts and opened that in Missouri City, Texas just last Thursday. And so far, the store had been getting no audience, no people stopping by and buying at all. When they started off, it had a meager 71 followers on Instagram. And days into the store opening, Billy, the actual son of the owner, was getting worried about what was going to happen to the store. So just put out a simple tweet of four photos of the store itself, of some of the donuts, more of the showcase of the merchandise they have in store. And then this is what got people. The photo of Billy's father looking all sad, just standing there. I don't really think
was it a tweet
so
or an Instagram?
It was a tweet. This is the tweet that went viral saying, my dad is sad because no one is coming to his new donut shop. Folks, within hours. People are just like, look, let's not take this so seriously. Let's just support the dude. He's in our area, so why not? The tweet got more than 752,000 likes. People started retweeting that tweet endlessly, including the official Twitter account, YouTube star Casey Neistat, and also actor James Wood. They even had tons of media start to cover the story because of just how sweet it was that the son put
how
out
old
this tweet.
Billy?
Billy is like in his early 20s, I'd guess, just by looking at him as well.
Imagining that he was like super cute and like 7.
No.
Just an adult man that's like, my father is sad because no one's looking at his business.
I think my father's sad because he's not making profit.
I think it's the photo of his father that got everyone. Look at now, Billy and his father looking happier that people started going to the store.
And they have few donuts.
That's it.
In that photo, there's maybe like the 10% capacity of the donut rack.
That's it, because he tweeted saying, just want to update you all. We completely sold out of donuts. You all are amazing. I can't thank everyone enough for coming out and supporting local businesses. This means so much to my family. So it really is sweet. That's all it is. But I
it
hope
is very sweet, yeah.
I hope from here, as sweet as their donuts.
I appreciate your joke and I will not break you down. I'll support you as a friend, even though your joke was crap, because I know how much it hurts when Kapitsky rips your chit joke to shreds. I mean, sorry.
Is that the joke song?
That's the I'll support my friend song.
Got you. Well, I hope they learn from this.
It was a kind of joke that acknowledged a slight giggle, which we gave it. I don't think it deserved
warranted
a lot more.
And full on hearty LOL.
Yeah, I lolled.
Thanks.
I ruffle mayoed.
Look, we hope they will learn some business sense out of this, but I think it was just sweet that Twitter actually banded up and supported people.
Because, I mean, that's not nice. Twitter's normally a hateful cesspit, so it's nice that people did something nice.
On the back of this, should we just take a picture of the studio right now and say, Ben's sad because he doesn't feel we have a million people listening to him.
This is my friend Ben.
Yes.
He's sad because we don't get thousands and thousands of dollars for doing the show.
He's sad because he thinks no one listens to him if Gareth's not here.
I'm here for that party.
Let's do that. Okay. And let's take that, Belize. We're coming at you.
I listen to you, Ben.
And then what if we don't
whether
have
or not get Gareth.
Not important enough. I think let's do it, sir.
Okay.
Take
who
a
listens
picture
to
say,
the Gareth Cliff show for Gareth? I mean, it's all... I'm here for the Kopinski.
Thanks, Gorge. You're the best. Kyle says Umla's dad is very ill, so that's why he's not with the squad. Thanks, Kyle.
Bummer, man.
Someone has got a approval of application of a license for the production of medical cannabis.
Someone locally, presumably.
Yeah, someone just sent me a picture they got. Well, congrats.
Do you want to be my friend?
Yeah.
That's very important.
I just want to grow some weed.
Michelle says that a lazy Susan of Stedman sounds like a lot of fun. I told you, it's a good idea. Well, Michelle doesn't think it's a lot of fun. She just thinks it's very funny. Michelle also says there was a fight on a golf course. Yeah, it's old news now, Michelle. Basically, in Benoni Oaks, blixing each other. Pretty much.
Yeah, well, any excuse to blixing each other.
And Mfundo says, morning, Ben is here. Michael is dead. What's the point of all this? Because he did all these things, but he's not here to face consequences. This is just shaming the dead, and besides, we have major issues to deal with globally. Mfundo, you're totally right. I think, just to echo what Sia said earlier, Oprah is using this, and I'm more inclined to agree with this now than obviously initially when I was just, you know, pulling the piss.
Thinking it's a witch hunt.
Yeah, it's all about just going into the sickness and the illness and the behavior around kids being abused. So I don't think it is so much a personal attack on Michael, because obviously he's dead and he can't, as people keep saying, defend himself. But it's just delving deeper into this whole thing of, you know, what an illness and what an epidemic it is in some cases, maybe. Okay, maybe it's a strong word, but, you know, what a problem child molestation really is.
I see.
And, you know, another good thing that was come out of this is, like, with celebrity, how the rules kind of somehow change. But as Sia said earlier, it's like, by being a star, you're already grooming kids. All you need to do is add shitty parents on that and pure geography of them being in a bed. And before you know it, you've got the rest of your life in a therapist's chair.
Yeah.
Or it's just not good. So that's my final thought on this hour on Michael Jackson and kids. If you want to talk more about that, I think we can draw the line to this now. I think we've covered this one well.
I just want to add that I always found the dude creepy, and whether or not he fiddled with anybody or not.
Well, get over the fact you didn't get invited to Neverland. No, you've really got to get over that.
Gareth explained how musically genius he was, and the dancing, and how innovative it all was. And like, okay, sure, so an amazing talent, an amazing musician, but like Prince, every time I saw that the Michael Jackson doing anything, I just cringe out of my skin.
Like, it is so weird. I was a humongous, huge, can't tell me anything, don't want to hear anything negative fan of Michael.
Yeah, you were groomed.
I cried when he died.
You were groomed.
25th of June, 2009, mm-hmm. I woke up and I heard that he died. Oh, just...
Yeah, tears.
I had an exam to write at school that day, and I was like, yeah. I gotta be excused because Michael... I literally went through 10 days of mourning.
Did you not have to write your exam? Did you get out of the exam?
I got out. I didn't go to school.
They let you rewrite the exam. They didn't just fail you for walking out. Because Michael Jackson died.
I'm a loser. I'm not okay.
This is CliffCentral.com.